we can't even comprehend how wonderful it would be. Not just the gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper. I love the song. He says, don't look the gates of the city. Don't look at the streets of gold. Don't look at the walls of jasper, nor all the many sights untold. I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. And he goes on, he says, it'll be my song through the ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Amen. Greatest thing about heaven is the fact the Lord Jesus will be there. We'll see him face to face. Turn with me tonight, if you will, in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll begin and look at just several verses, starting in verse number 24 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. You there with me? Say amen. Amen. Bible says here, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? One receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity to be in thy house. Thank you for these thy people that have come to hear your word. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would strengthen me. I pray, God, you'd give me, in my stammering lips of clay, you'd give me, Lord, an unction to function. I pray tonight that, Lord, I'd say nothing does not need to be said, but, oh God, help me to say everything that does. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, the glory. Let's do your holy name. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention, if I might, back to verse number 24. The Bible says here, know ye not that they which run in a race. They which run in a race. He says they run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. For the next 4 or 5 hours, maybe 6 or 7 now, I want to preach on this thought. Running to win. Running to win. You know, all throughout the New Testament, the Christian life has been likened to a race. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, a very familiar verse, the Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And then he says this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The verse we just read, he tells us, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. In Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 7, Paul says to those Galatians, he says, ye did run well, who did hinder you? And then Galatians 2:2, he says, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. One of the most popular metaphors throughout the Word of God are illustrations in the Bible having to do with the Christian life and the Christian walk is this picture of being in a foot race. The most significant thing regarding this race that God has for us is the idea, the desire, the goal of not only finishing the race, watch this, but winning. And so tonight we'll speak on running to win. Corinth was the most important city in Greece during those days, mainly because it was located on the most important part or important path, if you will, that north to south travel route. And so they were much busy in commerce and culture and even idolatry and many other things. It was a very popular town. Every 2 years outside of Corinth, they were Olympic type games held. Many of you maybe have studied some into that. These were called the Isthmian Games, and it was something much like our Olympics today. They held a lot of the same events of what we have today in our Olympics. They had foot races. That was the main primary thing, I guess, one of the most popular things. They had boxing, they had wrestling, they had many of those kinds of things. And it's amazing because just like in our Olympics, there's so much preparation that goes into it. They would train for 10 months before they would have these competitions. In fact, they had to sign and at least state that they had trained for at least 10 months. Any candidate that went to enter the race, part of their qualifications is they had to have already put 10 months worth of training in before they could ever even try to make it into the Isthmian Games. When someone would win, they were given a wreath or they were given a crown to wear on their head. The Bible tells us that there are five crowns mentioned throughout the Word of God. One of them is mentioned here in verse number 25. It's the incorruptible crown. He says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And so he mentions here the incorruptible crown. They run, those that would be in those games, they run that they might receive a crown, a wreath, something that'll fade away, something that's temporal. But we run, Paul says, for an incorruptible crown, something that will never fade away. We need to understand that we're in a race. I don't know about you, but I'm just not a lollygag kind of guy. I don't know about you, but I'm not real lackadaisical. Most of you probably figured that out about me. I'm pretty high strung. And if I'm going to be in something, I want to win. It's that simple. I'm not going to get involved. I don't have many hobbies. I got some things that I like to do, but if I'm either going to be all in or I'm going to be all out, if I'm going to get in a race, honey, I want to win. I want to be first place. Amazing to me sometimes, I look out and folks just kind of lollygagging through their Christian life, floating through their Christian life, just going through the motions. Can I say to you that that makes God sick? Lukewarm Christianity, hello, y'all awake? Lukewarm Christianity makes God puke. He said, "Yeah, I were that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm." He said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." It makes God puke and throw up. It makes him sick, lukewarm Christianity. That's Bible, friend. We haven't left the Word of God yet. Several things I'd like for you to notice about this race and about running to win. Number one, I want you to notice, running requires persistency. Running requires, look what he says in verse 24, "So run that you may obtain." Paul here, of course, again, he compares the Christian life to running a race. There's one thing for certain. The only way you'll ever have an opportunity to ever win the race, or win anything, is you first got to complete it. How many knows you can't win if you don't finish? You got to finish the race, and so it requires persistency. You can't quit halfway through and still win. But if you're going to have an opportunity to win this race that Paul's talking about, you have to at least finish the race. Tragically, I've seen people, and everybody here, you know people, and you've seen people throughout your life and throughout your Christian life that some run 10 years, some run 20 years, some maybe run 30 or 40 years, and it's so tragic that you see they drop out and drop off, and somehow they quit, and they're out of the race. We wonder, how in the world did that happen? The way it happens is, you see, what happens is when you're running a race, is you get tired. And the longer you run, and the longer you run, and the longer you run, you get even more tired. Who knows, this race of life makes you tired. And the longer you run, you get more tired and more tired and more tired, and you start running out of steam, you come to that place where you're ready to quit. That's why it's so important to keep ourselves in shape spiritually. Keep ourselves going spiritually. Keep ourselves where we ought to be spiritually with the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If, you know, the Bible says this over the Old Testament, Leviticus, several other places, the Bible says this, that in the tabernacle in those days, in the temple in those days, that there was a job that the Levites had, that they were to keep the fire going, and a certain sect had that particular job, and he said this, "The fire shall never go out. It should never be quenched. There should never be a time. There's not a fire on that altar." How many of you remember those oil lamps? You know what you got to do to keep that lamp burning? You got to keep putting oil in it. You got to keep filling it up. It's got, who knows what oil is a type of? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, you got to keep getting that thing filled up and getting it filled. There's a reason that you and I need church 3 times a week. There's a reason you and I need to be in our Bible every single day. There's a reason you and I, God told us to come. He said, call on me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. There's a reason that we need to do that. Because if not, we're going to quit. We're going to get tired. Our spiritual lives, we're going to be depleted. If we're not careful, we get bogged down and we're tempted to quit the race. Just stand on the sideline for a while. But can I say something to you? Nobody ever wins anything from the sideline. I don't care anything about sideline Christianity. Maybe you do have at it, but I don't care anything about it. Nobody ever wins anything from the sideline. Can I say to you tonight, this isn't the time to quit? Oh, you may be here. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm convinced of this, especially I know how it was even before I came here, and I'm sure it's probably gotten even worse just talking to some of the people. I still preach out, but not near as much as I used to. And I'll tell you this. There's a lot of people that's quit. They're sitting in their pew, but they quit a long time ago. You've heard me. If somebody came, listen, if somebody died in a service, they'd have to clear out 3/4 of the building to figure out who it is. I'm telling you, they quit. They're on the sideline. It isn't time to quit. We're in the home stretch. It's time to get our second wind and run like we've never run before and work like we've never worked before and serve like we've never served before and give like we've never gave before. We need to run this race with persistency. Once you've stopped, it's extremely hard to get going again. Talked to somebody this past week. They said, preacher, I want to come to church. I want to be in church. It's just so hard to get back in, and it is. The devil's not going to help you, by the way. He's going to do everything to hinder you. You lose so much position in the race when you get out. It's almost impossible to win. You lose that position. I don't know about you, but I've come too far to turn back now. I'm going to keep running. I'm running to win. Running requires persistency. Notice the second thing. Running requires perspiration. The Bible says, they which run in a race. Let me tell you something. Running takes a whole lot of effort. Most of you know that. It takes, if you've been running very long, you're going to begin to sweat. Many times people begin to run a race and they never really consider the task at hand. They enter the 5K or the 3K or the 10K or whatever, and they get in a race and they didn't have any clue what they had signed up for. And sometimes you have to run uphill, and sometimes you have to run and the wind's beating against you, and sometimes you got to run in the rain, and sometimes the weather makes it difficult to run and to keep going. But listen, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Sometimes we just got to persevere. There's going to be some sweating involved. There's going to be some work involved. There'll be many that run, but Paul says here that all won't receive a prize. Can I tell you something? A winning performance is not one that takes the easy way out. A winning performance is not one that takes the path of least resistance, but it takes hard work. It might take some sacrifice. Oh, let me say that again. It will take some sacrifice. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. They're running to win. They've given their life. They want to win. What are you giving your life for? They're running to win. Can I say something to you? Those that are running to win, they don't show up late for practice. Hello? Those that are running to win don't show up one time a week. Those that are running to win don't miss every Sunday night or Wednesday night. Oh, but they're serious about what they're doing. They're not nonchalant in their duties. The work is serious. Their effort's steadfast. Nobody just happenstance stumbles up on a win. Understand, listen, look what he says here in verse number 25. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery, what's this word? Is, very interesting word, temperate. You know what that word means? Means disciplined. What's this? Means disciplined. It speaks of self-discipline. It speaks of self-control. The difference many times between winners and losers is this right here. It's temperance. It's self-control. I've seen it over and over and over again throughout my life. The difference between those who are successful, the difference between winners and losers, is that some are temperate and some are not. Some have self-control and some do not. And that's the difference in winners and losers. The meaning of that word is mastery, that word temperance, mastery over one's self. I want you to think about this. These athletes, they train for 10 months. During that time, they abstain from certain foods. Many things they couldn't eat. They're training. Things that would hurt them in their training and in their effort to increase and get better and get stronger and get faster. They abstain from certain foods. They abstain from wine. They would abstain from a poor lifestyle and living a reckless lifestyle. Can I say to you, it's the same today. You talk to coaches and those who coach the best athletes, and they're the first ones there. They're the last ones to leave. They've got to go in every day. They're the first ones, they're the last ones to leave. They got to go every day. They got to train hard, whether they feel like it or not, whether it's popular or not, whether it's what they feel like doing that day or not, while their friends are out doing other things. Their friends are out maybe having a time. Listen to me. The winning athletes, they're in training. They're working. Listen, let me say something to you tonight. There's a price to pay to be a winner. I'm convinced of this. Now, I'm going to be honest. I know God puts people in places, and especially with preachers and pastors and key positions in the church. I know God does that. And I don't know why God puts people maybe at this church and exactly why He put me here. I'm thankful He did. I know that He did. But I'm going to say this. I've watched throughout the years and seen preachers or maybe self-proclaimed preachers and people, maybe pew warmers toting a Bible and they're a preacher or whatever the case is. But I've watched throughout the years. I said this to somebody the other day. There's a difference in being interested in something and being committed. How many knows there's a difference in that? When you're interested in something, watch this, you do it when it's convenient for you. Well, nothing else going on. I think we'll go to church tonight. Nothing else going on. I guess we'll go down to the revival tonight. Nothing else going on. I guess we'll go to the funeral tonight. Nothing else going on. I guess we'll go to whatever it is. But when you're committed, nothing can stop you. Nothing can keep you from it. When you're committed. You know what I've learned? There's a lot of people that's interested. We don't need any more people that's interested, all right? That I'm interested in the bus ministry. I'm interested in singing in the choir. I'm interested in preaching. I'm interested in you name whatever you want to name. That means that if it's when it's convenient for me, if you call on me, I'll be there if I don't have anything else in line. But that's not a commitment. Can I tell you something? If you're committed, that's winners. Only winners are committed. Talk to so many. I've seen throughout the year preachers, many of them, and you wonder, man, you've been on the pew, you've been looking to pastor for all these years, and I know God for different reasons does different things, but I've seen a lot of cases it's because they're not committed. I'm going to tell you something, especially pastoring and preaching, but in other positions, it's a calling. It's a calling, and some people ain't cut out for it because I'm going to tell you this, it is a commitment. You don't think anything in the ministry is a commitment, then you're not taking it seriously. You ask my wife if it's a sacrifice. Oh, yes. You're going to have to sacrifice some things. You're going to have to miss some things. You're going to have to allow God to change your plans. Man deviseth his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. We got to let God change our plans. Praise God, I got plans. I have plans all the time, and most of the time they get changed. I thank the Lord throughout the years, all the times that our plans got changed. You know what? Been many times we were going to do this, we're going to do that, but the plans got changed. You know what? My wife isn't bitter about it. My wife don't browbeat me about it. My wife don't give me a hard time. There's so many men, listen, there's so many men out here that's so henpecked why they can't do anything for God. I'm talking about tonight the difference in commitment when when you're running your race, and the difference in being interested. There's a difference. A lot of people interested. We'll need any more people that are interested. We need some people that have the self-discipline to say no to self. We need some people that's going to crucify the flesh and say, you know what? Yes, I like to do this. Yes, I like to be there. But God needs me here. It's the difference. Self-discipline. It's the ability to make decisions based on sound judgment rather than on impulse, emotion, desire, peer pressure. If we're carried about by everything that comes down the line, you're not going to have the temperance or self-discipline it takes to be a winner. For a Christian to be a winner, you got to make decisions based on what thus saith the Lord. For a Christian to be a winner, you got to be all in. Listen to me, you can't just play at this thing or just mess around at this thing, but you got to be serious about this thing. I said before the service, got many amens, not getting many now. That's all right, I'm going to preach anyway. But listen, got some amens. I said, hey, take us to another level, God. We want you to take us to another level. It takes some sacrifice, friend. Commitment. You got to make some decisions based on the desires of God instead of the desires of the flesh. Running requires persistency. Running requires perspiration. You notice the third thing. Running requires purpose. Paul says here, run that you may obtain. And I'm going to tell you something. If you see me running, there's a good purpose. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. If you see me running, don't even look. Just start running. Because there's something bad happening. There's a reason if I'm running. I've never understood people. You know, you see them in the middle of the day or something. You be talking about what time you get up. And, well, I get up about 7 o'clock or whatever, you know. And they say, man, I've done run 5 miles by 7 o'clock. Praise God, more power to you. I'll pray for you. You can run through my mind as I'm asleep. Look at verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. He says only one's receiving a prize. You know what? He has a goal. What goals do you have for yourself, Christian? What is it that you want to obtain? His goal is not only to enter the race, but to win the race. Is your goal just a title? Is your goal just a position? Or is there something at the end of this thing that you're running for? Oh, she sung about it earlier. Heaven's going to be a sweet place. Oh, it is. It'll be much sweeter if we've had heaven on our mind the whole time we're running. And that's our goal. We know we're not going to earn our way in, but when we get there, we can take some things with us. We can take some rewards with us. Look at verse number 25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but me an incorruptible. Now both of them, watch this. Whether it be the person running for the temporal, they're both running for a prize, but one's running for a temporal prize, and one's running for an eternal prize. But the purpose is the prize. There's a purpose. They're running to win. In the Christian life, so many people do the bare minimum. It's amazing. They've set their own standard of what's acceptable, Sunday morning only. Maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night, or just when they feel like it, and they're just going through the motions. They're not running to win the race or win the prize. Anything, listen, that we do in our Christian life, it deserves nothing less than our very best. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Listen to me, friend. You're doing a disservice to God. You're doing a disservice to this ministry. You're doing a disservice to whatever you're involved in if you're doing it anyway, except with everything you've got. With everything you've got. It deserves our very best. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Listen, I don't want a lukewarm church. I don't want to run the back of the pack. Think about that woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says this. Of course, she'd been with that problem for years. 12 years, I think it was. She'd been with that problem for 12 years. Long years, that issue of blood. Bible says she saw Jesus. She came in the press behind. In other words, the crowd was there thronging him, said, thronging him from left to right. Crowd was all around him. But it said she came in the press behind. And you know what she did? She got to Jesus. She didn't just stop at the crowd. All the religious folks, by the way, that's what they were, the religious crowd, they were back here. But somehow, some way, boy, she got to the Lord Jesus. She had some persistency about her. She had, because she had a purpose. She wasn't just going through the motion. She came in the press behind, the Bible says, and she pressed through the crowd. Can I tell you, sadly, what we got to do sometimes in our independent Baptist churches, we got to press through the crowd. Because religious folk will get in our way. We got to press through the crowd and we got to get a hold of the Lord. We got to press through the crowd and we got to do what God's called us to do. We got to get past the mess and get past all the other obstacles and other things that would stand in our way. We got to run our race. Let's not be Sunday school teachers that just go through the motions. Let's not be soul winners that just go through the motions and do the bare minimum. Let's not go out on Operation Go and just do the bare minimum. Let's not go out on our bus routes and do the very lowest minimum just so we just drive out and maybe pass a few houses and turn around and come back. Listen, whether you're a nursery worker, a floor sweeper, a youth worker, whether you're the sound man, whatever it is God's given you to do, do it with all your might. Run that you may obtain. Verse 26 and 7, notice what Paul says. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I'm not just swinging for nothing. Fight I not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just swinging at nothing. He said, boy, but I tell you what, when I land one, I'm aiming to knock him out. I'm aiming to put him on his back. I'm swinging. I'm running. I'm fighting. I'm enduring. Because when it's all said and done, I want to be a winner, not a loser. Paul said, I'm running to win. I'm in this thing to win. Listen, if you're not in it to win, I don't know why you're in it at all. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're not in this thing to win, I don't know why you're in it at all. Winners don't just happen. It takes planning. It takes preparation. You got to plan to win. You got to be disciplined to follow your plan and to stick with your training. You got to stay faithful to run. So run, he says, that you may obtain. Listen, it's not enough just to enter the race. It's not even enough to have a goal of winning the race, but you got to have the discipline and the resolve to see it through. It's going to take crucifying the flesh. Listen to me. Why do you think I preach so much on, Paul said, I die daily. Why do you think my life verse is, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen to me, it's because if we don't learn in this Christian life to die to self, we're never going to be successful. We got to put our old stinking flesh aside, our desires aside. Listen, it's got to be His will, not our will. His word, not our word. His walk, not our walk. We have to sell out and give our life to God. It's not enough just to enter the race. I could put on boxing gloves and I could get in the ring with a boxer, have a goal to knock him out in five rounds, but just getting in the ring won't get it done. Just getting in the ring with a goal won't get it done. That's not enough, but if I hadn't trained well enough, he's going to knock me out in the first round. Got to train. Got to plan. Got to prepare. It's not enough to have goals or know where the finish line is. We got to run with persistency. We got to run with perspiration, working hard. We got to run with purpose. I wonder tonight, be honest, just think about this for a minute. Very simple question, but very profound. Do you even know why you're running? Do you even know why you're in the race? Do you have a purpose for being in this Christian race? Have you thought about it? Do you even know why you're running? Paul said his purpose was to win a crown. Going on 5 years ago now, when I first came here, our theme was press on. Do you remember that? Press on. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know something? I'm still pressing on. I'm still running. I'm not letting up. I'm not slowing down. We're going to go as hard as we can go, as long as we can go. Because we have a purpose. We're running to win the prize. You know something? It's not so I can obtain a prize. You know, the Bible says it's going to happen in heaven. The Bible says there's going to come a time where we'll cast our crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight what it's going to be like. You get there in heaven. You have nothing to offer. Oh, the Bible says they'll look on him who they pierced the piercings in his hands and the one with the nail prints hands, and we'll look on him. This is what I did for you. What do you have for me? What's it going to be like, friend, when you have nothing to... Well, as long as I get to heaven, it's going to matter. I'll promise you this. When you stand before the one that died for you, that gave his life for you, it's going to matter. I remember sitting years ago, my sister's graduation. And through several graduations, in fact, it's happened. And I goofed off a lot in school. I made straight A's. I wanted to make straight A's. If I didn't, I didn't. I could do the work, no problem. But I goofed off a lot. I remember thinking, and I've thought this multiple times at graduations, and the summa cum laude and all the, you know, while wasting a lot of time. Should have been serious about what I was doing. See, they're getting their rewards. You see, they're getting all that. I'm sitting there at graduation. I'm going to tell you something, that's nothing in light of when we stand before the one who died for us. And we have no crowns. We have nothing to cast at his feet. I promise you tonight, it's going to matter. It's all simply running the race, but the greatest prize is to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he don't say that to sidelines. He don't say that to bystanders. He don't say that to dropouts. He don't say that to those who weren't never serious about running the race, but he says it to winners. In 1996, there's a shoe company for the Olympics. They ran an ad. The ad said this: "You do not win the silver medal, you lose the gold." In other words, there's no second place. You don't win the silver medal, it means you lost the gold. I want to be a winner. How about you? While we stand tonight, I want to say,